This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. For the next several weeks, my wife and I will be in Belize on a mission trip, so I'm going to be replaying some programs that were heard on the new birth some time back.
Now, read with me then today from John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 10. He, that is Christ, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, that is his own people, the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now again, let's read from John chapter 3. When we read from verse 3, the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus again. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell whence it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And again, I would like to read with you from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of His Word. Now, the Lord's message to Nicodemus was that he must be born again. Sometimes I tell people this is not an option. This is a requirement. But the new birth is greatly misunderstood. There are some people who think that we are born again when we are raised from the dead, when the Lord judges us at the last judgment. And of course, I believe there's a resurrection of life and a resurrection of death. But most people think there's going to be one general judgment, and when the Lord raises us from the dead, that's when we're born again. But if we look at John chapter 1, we're going to find out that that's not the new birth. So what we really need to understand is what it is, what it isn't, and what brings it about. And Nicodemus needed to understand that as well. Now, when we look at the new birth and we recognize that it is a requirement, it's not an option, then we've got to be clear on what it really is. Now, I'm going to tell you what I understand from the scriptures that the new birth is, and then I'm going to go into these scriptures and show you that what I believe is found there. But very clearly, when we talk about our relationship with God, sometimes we speak about a new birth or a new life with Christ. Sometimes we talk about being saved. Those are two terms that we need to understand. Now, Acts 4 and 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." When we looked at John 3 and verse 7, we found out that we must be born again. So these are two musts. Are they different or are they the same things? I believe that they are the same thing looked at in different ways. There is a term that is found when we talk about both of these events. There's a term that is common to both. If a baby is born, we talk about the baby being delivered. If a person is saved, we talk about the person being delivered, usually from danger. So a deliverance is involved in both. When we are saved, we are delivered from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin. So it's looking at the negative side. When we are born again, we are delivered from all that was involved in our old life, a life that God said was a dead life spiritually. We are delivered from that for a new life with Christ. So the new birth is really a deliverance for fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and includes all the blessings that God can give to us. Those blessings begin now, and they continue on through eternity. So eternal life is not only a life with the qualities of eternal life, that is, with the qualities of a life from eternity, but it is a life that has quantity associated with it. It is a life for eternity. So actually, salvation is then the deliverance from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin, and the new birth is looking at the same thing, but it's looking at what we get, and it's deliverance for a new life with Christ. Now, in John chapter 1, he makes it clear that the new birth comes through believing, because he says in John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born. So we can see that receiving him made them children of God. And receiving him is equated to believing in his name. Believing in his name, we would find, is believing in his authority, believing in his reputation, believing in its character. It's the same as having confidence or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have faith or confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, this says we are born. And he says that birth that we receive at that time is not of blood. In other words, the new birth is not something that I get by virtue of being born into a particular family. When it's not of blood, it means that this is not something my parents do for me. My parents brought me into the world, but the new birth is a spiritual thing, and it's not, and just because I've been born into a Christian family does not make me a Christian. Nor is it the will of the flesh. That is, it's not something that I can do for myself. The flesh is the sin principle within me. This is not something I can do for myself. It is true that I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, but what I'm believing in is something that another has done for me. I am believing in what Christ has done when he died at the cross, so it's not of the flesh, it's of God. And that's why that's emphasized here. So it's when we are offering God something before we're saved, that just simply is of the flesh. But when we are taking what God is offering us, that's of the Spirit. And so it's not of the flesh, and it's not of the will of man. It's not something I can do for you. It would be nice if I could in some way do something that would bring you to faith in Christ, but it just simply doesn't work that way. All I can do is preach the gospel to you and let the Holy Spirit use that to bring about conviction and conversion. So it's not of our bloodline. It's not what we do for God. It's not what another man does for us, but it is of God. It's what God does for us, and he does it through giving his Son at the cross of Calvary, and he does it by sending the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, as we read in John chapter 16. Now, when we look at Nicodemus then, he says to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. But of course, he's made a statement before that which confuses many people, because he says, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now remember, the new birth is of God. It's not something we do for ourselves. It's not something another man does for us. And yet many will interpret this matter of the water as being baptism, and they think that a child can be born again by being baptized as an infant before they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't make sense if the new birth is receiving him or believing on him. If that's what makes us children of God, it would make no sense for this passage then to be baptism by adults for infants who have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if this is not baptism, then what is it? One interpretation is that it represents, that the water represents the Word of God. And that's because we have read in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And we could take you to passages of Scripture which seem to equate the Word of God with water. We are cleansed in Ephesians 5. The bride is cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. But I personally accept that. That is a principle that can be taught from the Bible, but I believe in the passage the water represents the first birth and the Spirit represents the second birth. When he says that which is born, or unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, all the way through here he's been emphasizing two births. And so the next statement is that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That would be being born of water. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That would be being born of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now when a baby is born, water is involved. Usually we first know that the baby is going to come. When the water breaks, and I think that he's using that to symbolically tell Nicodemus there was a natural birth, but now there's a spiritual birth. So my personal conviction is he's saying, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water, that is naturally, and the Spirit, that is by receiving the truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and depending upon it, unless you're born that way, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. And so, friend, I hope you have been born of water and of the Spirit. Now, the program address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our Heavenly Father, bless the program. We ask for thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.